outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2 with but one inning more to play.
And it has that incredible vaudevillian character to it.
That's Edward O'Donnell, a history professor at Holy Cross.
And it's got such great overwrought wording, too, you know, the leather-bound sphere.
And now the leather-covered sphere comes whirling through the air.
And it has that sort of melodrama.
The right one, the umpire said.
For what it is, a humorous 52-line poem, it is as close to perfect as you could possibly get.
That poem, Casey at the Bat, about a great hulking slugger for the Mudville Nine who strikes out in the bottom of the ninth inning with the game on the line, was first published this week way back in 1888 in the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, the poem's story might have ended there, but it found its way into the hands of DeWolf Hopper, a performer on the vaudeville circuit.
And so he performs it, Hopper does, by some estimates, 10,000 times over the next, several decades before he dies in the mid-20th century.
Bolstered by DeWolf's performances, the poem's popularity soared. Within a few years, nearly every person in America had read or heard Casey at the Bat. But nobody knew who actually wrote it.
Once it reached sort of a certain level of, national notoriety, all kinds of people looking to make a buck, came forward and said, I wrote it.
The poem was attributed simply to Finn, an obvious pseudonym. Now, Finn, it turns out, was the college nickname of one Ernest Thayer. Thayer was born right here in Massachusetts, raised in Worcester, the son of mill owners. Reticent to enter the family business after graduating from Harvard, he took a job offer from his college pal William Randolph Hearst to write for Hearst's paper out in San Francisco. Once the question of authorship was put to rest, speculation turned to the subject of the poem. Just who was the inspiration for the mighty Casey? Plenty would claim the mantle, including nearly every ballplayer of the era with an Irish last name.
One of them, actually, after his baseball career was over, went on the vaudeville circuit as the real Casey, even though it was completely made up.
Eventually, nearly 50 years after he wrote the poem, Thayer finally came clean on that front. He said in an interview,
"Actually, none of the people who claim to be Casey or the model for Casey are the right ones. It was actually a guy named Daniel Casey, who I went to high school with, who threatened to beat me up once because I'd made fun of him in the school newspaper."
But the most enduring mystery of Casey at the Bat is that of Mudville, the setting for the poem. Over the years, plenty of places have claimed to be the real Mudville, but two towns, Stockton, California, and Holliston, Massachusetts, continue to wrestle over it, even today. Making the case for Stockton, archivist Bill Maxwell, a lifelong Stocktonian.
Thayer was writing for the San Francisco Chronicle, which is just a few miles away from Stockton. He was covering the local baseball scene. Stockton flooded almost annually, and the streets would turn to mud, and those combined to, I think, make a pretty convincing argument.
But Bob Blair, the ceremonial mayor of the Mudville section of Holliston, is not convinced.
Stockton wasn't incorporated out there till 1850. Here we were being called Mudville in 1856, I'm sure earlier. They're Johnny-come-latelys.
And he points out that Thayer grew up watching baseball in Holliston. His family's woolen mill was just up the road.
You could spit from the woolen mill to Mudville, and obviously we had games going on then.
Now, Thayer himself said that Mudville wasn't based on any particular place, but neither town is buying that. In 2012, they decided to battle it out once and for all. Holliston sent a team out to Stockton to play an old-style rules baseball game for the title of the real Mudville. It settled nothing.
The final score was 10-4 in favor of Stockton. I think it's done.
Yeah, but guess what? Our team, Mudville, lost, just as it's supposed to be. Bingo.
The debate, it seems, is likely to continue for as long as the poem remains a vital part of American culture. And Blair suspects that will be a long time. Baseball, after all, is still America's sport. And he says that buried underneath the poem's playful exterior is a hard and universal truth.
We're all going to fail. Fail in life at certain things. You learn through your mistakes. So I think I'll keep making more mistakes. That way I can learn.
Casey at the Bat, first published by Massachusetts' own Ernest Thayer 126 years ago this week. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herbig III, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
Somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout.
But there is no joy in Matilda.
Mighty Casey has struck out.